Well, hey, Gundam Maniacs, welcome to the Gundam Explained Show Live. I'm your host, Adam Blue, and joining me, as always, Steven and Midnight Hatter. What's up, man?
Not a whole lot. How are you doing?
Pretty good. In fact, yesterday was pretty fun. If you guys missed it, Steven and I were like chilling for almost 2 hours on your channel yesterday.
Yeah, we went pretty long. It was so it's funny, Pyro over on Discord was like, yeah, I was bugging because I saw that you didn't stream. And then I just realized that you streamed at 3 a.m., which, because he's a UK viewer, yeah. So it's like.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that was pretty fun because it was like you were working on these wing custom stuff you're doing. And then I was even just building stuff in the background. We were just like talking a bunch of stuff. That was actually a good time. So if you guys missed it, it's just like an hour and a half of us just talking about a bunch of cool stuff and some cool tips of your customization.
Yeah. And you built the mobile suit ensembles that.
I'm going to show those off here in a second. Yeah. In fact, why don't we get into that? So what I've been getting into this week, you know, I had that video up. I did the Rick Diaz Robot Spirits comparisons because I love to see all the canon details. Oh, hey, what's up, Santo Bell?
Cheers, buddy.
And he's in Australia. So speaking of people that are up late or random times.
You know what? Hey, just for, you know, the old kicks and giggles, why don't, if you guys are watching now, drop in the chat what country you're watching from so that we can get an idea of like time zone distribution. I think that'd be interesting to see.
It is, because even like when we were doing your stream yesterday, it was active. Yeah. And like, it's interesting to, you know, a lot of times we choose when to go live because we're trying to like work it into our schedules. But like sometimes it's like, well, what for people, you know, like are the best times? And it's so hard to figure that out, really. The first video this week was the comparison, the Robot Spirits Rick Diaz, the Quattro Vegina version. And then I came out with that episode 9 of IBO, which it's what's awesome about that is, There was so much Gundam Breaker 4 content coming out that like I was just making videos on that. And then I finally got around to IBO, but it was really neat that like a few days before I released the video, someone was like, hey, where's the IBO reviews? I'm like, okay, cool. I'm glad someone was anticipating it.
See, people are interested. It's
I know. Yeah, especially like even the subject matter of the episode. So check that video out if you haven't, because I think the sexualization in it is quite like a focal point more than most series, which is interesting. Other stuff I got into. So first of all, stuff that's not Gundam related, but maybe kind of. So you guys know that Perfect Grade, you know,
yes.
I built, right? Well, I needed him to have some buddies. Actually, I ended up getting a sonar suit Batman so these guys can hang out, you know, because they're the same size, right?
So now the sonar suit,
this is Batman Forever. This is the suit he gets at the end. It's not the suit he starts with.
Oh.
And it's cool because as a kid, they almost like kind of had this as the toy, but it wasn't as cool looking. And since then, companies have never really made like this version. There's a Todd McFarlane one I got, the 7-inch, and then this other company, Beast Kingdom, that makes really cool Batman toys, are coming out with one.
That's awesome. So I mean, anything vintage like Batman, like, you know, Schumacher Batman, I know I'm in the minority, but I like that stuff.
So that's the thing. Like it reminds me of like Star Wars in a way. It's the special effects, the design, all of that stuff is top tier. It's just then the story or then result maybe wasn't exactly what we wanted, but
right.
But anyway, the other thing I got when these guys go out in battle is a Wolverine, and I think proportion correctly, you know, shorter than. But this thing is amazing because it's got the skin, so no, you don't see the joint, seamless joints.
So it's kind of like a Stretch Armstrong. That like,
yeah, it actually almost feels like that. That is actually funny, but yeah, all fabric. Hano Studios. But what's interesting is, so this was like 180, which I felt was all right. So This, the Batman 260, but it was on sale for 200, which is kind of what, because I never had a hot, and I was like, yeah, that's still but actually, let me just lay him down here. So this is 300. But I think, like, okay, this is
build it yourself too.
Yes. So that's like the thing about it. It's like, okay, you actually have to put it together yourself, but then at the same time, that becomes its own like event, its own thing, you know, where they've manufactured all these pieces that you then take apart and put together. And then, you know, it has like the core fighter, it lights up, you know, even the beams. So like, I feel like when it comes to, like, it would be cool to get maybe like a straight up Hot Toys style RX-72, but then there's the Gundam fixed figuration, the tall one, metal composite. I don't know if anyone out there has, like, I guess their thoughts of what is a definitive kind of 1/6 scale style RX-72. I'm curious, because I think it's the perfect grade, but there could be others.
That's a good question. I mean, Gundam, you know, obviously you've got the Robot Spirits line, but like, as far as collectibles go in the high tier, you don't have like a $400, like Hot Toys. Like you said, as far as collectibles go, it's really just the Gunpla, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, cause there's those metal builds, but they're also not that big. Like, they're made out of metal. It's almost like a different thing entirely, because it's not like this Batman is necessarily, in terms of quality or like high end, it's supposed to just look high end. At the end of the day, it's like having a nice statue or something. That's kind of more of the purpose behind that. So,
right.
That's interesting stuff. Do they need to make a 1/6 Amuro? You know, but what's cool is, remember those 1/18th GMG figures?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're now actually going to start selling them on card backs, single on. So like, there's going to be, and it's $20 Amuro on a card back, Char on a card back. That's actually pretty neat.
I'm going to have to pick those up. And man, if they start expanding into Zeta and like some of the side stories, that's what we need to see.
Yeah. Because, you know, now that they're releasing them in this way, that kind of makes them cheaper. And I wonder if that maybe gives them the opportunity then to, because they have Rumble Raw, Sayla, and then just, going into other characters, going into Zeta. I would love, to see them do that. Okay. And then, let me show this. So what it was is, I was on eBay, and eBay knows how to promote things to me. It was like Mobile Suit Ensemble thing for $40. And I was like, okay, that's pretty good. And it came with a bunch of things. It came with, so we got a Core Fighter. And I had to build it, and it has its little stand, and like, this is just so awesome. And I mentioned on your show, it reminds me of like the Micro Machines. So that's what's cool about them. And then a core booster. And it has, you know, the wheels or the landing gear, which is nice.
Now, how many of them actually came with a stand?
Only one stand.
Only one stand for, okay.
Yeah, because the other ones came with, like, for instance, that one had the landing gear. There's another Core Fighter that has landing gear.
Got it.
Pretty nice. There's the Dop Fighter, and it has landing gear. But then I could put the stand on here. But, yeah, it's like they just included one, even though they all could. Magella Attack Tank, and
love
the
it.
Top comes off. I love it. And, yeah, it's... like, I feel like it's almost like a PTSD to SD Gundam G Generation Genesis, because like, I feel like I took out the tank, but oh no, here's the top. It's like, okay, I totally forgot.
You know, that's actually one of my favorite weapon sets that they have in the old Gundam Versus games. This like goes back to like Federation versus Zeon. You can actually play as a Zaku 2 that has a Magella top cannon as its weapon.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like, you know, you're piloting a Zaku, but you're carrying around the Magella top as a gun.
Like even the cockpit?
Yeah. Like it's the whole thing.
I like that. Oh, that's pretty cool. And then, the Federation tank.
Yeah.
Which, like, I love this. Like, I love having these on my desk. It's just like the Micro Machines back in the day, you know? Yeah, totally love that stuff.
That's
hey,
great.
We've got a lot of people. E Enhanced, good to see you. EG, 16 times. Jamkill X, Xionic Shadow. Oh, and you're sick. Yeah, something's been going on. Oh,
man. Yeah. That's that East Coast, that Northeast weather is coming in hot, coming in hard for the winter. You know what's interesting, though? Like, so you brought up Micro Machines. You know what would be an interesting thing to make for Gundam is I recently saw one of those vintage 90s commercials, right? And this was for the Terminator 2 action figure. Oh. Do you remember the putty?
Yeah.
You like had this endoskeleton and you put it in the little container and fill it up with like the goop. Yep. And you make your own Terminator that you can like peel chunks off of. Like,
I never had that, but what I did was I had a Terminator action figure and we had a lot of silly putty.
Oh, house, yeah.
And I would just make the skin on it myself. I remember that.
But imagine if you had that, but Gundam. Where it's like you put, like if you took a real grade frame and you put it inside of something that you then the armor plates on or something. I don't know.
No, that's cool. Like it, like a hangar dock thing. And then it has like arms. And they almost did that with the, because I used to have the Robot Spirits, the Yokohama one. And it came with a dock that has all of these little, you know, I think they're more platforms, but it's still kind of that same thing where it looks like it's in a, so I was searching around, but I didn't see anything because I think that would make sense for something like this where I have it on a stand because the parts open up and to have like arms and little things going around, but I guess you have to make it.
There we go. Mission accepted.
Okay, good. Good. After the Banaja Mark II.
Right? Yeah. He's gonna bring it up every week until I do it.
We got Kyle in the chat. Good to see you, Anthony DiDio. What's popping, fellas? Yeah. Okay. And so in a little bit, we're going to. So what's really cool about October is there's two Gundam media things dropping that add lore to the timeline, and so we're gonna kind of like one of my past videos. I made us like this like slide with the timeline, and we'll edit it. We're going to talk through the lore of these new things and edit that. First, yeah. I want to share something. So in the Discord, let me find the tab. Is it this? Yeah. In the Discord, if you go to like Gunpla and Collectibles, I have this thing up where you can, let's see, no, that's better, where you can like submit a build of yours and then just a little bit about it. And so, and during the podcast, I'll go over it. So this is the first entry. This is from, I made a mistake on the form and didn't have put your name. So I luckily the member is active. Frosty V is his name. He's active. And he posted this. This is a Shin Matsunaga Zagak. I figure you would appreciate that.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and it just from his words, just a custom high-grade Zagak made for my favorite Zeon Ace, or made for my favorite Zeon Ace pilot, Shin Matsunaga. Yes, I'm fully aware Shin Matsunaga never used a Zagak, but you know what? He could have.
He could have. Yeah, it reminds me of, did you ever watch that movie, The Royal Tenenbaums?
I've heard of it. That's the,
go. Yeah.
The Anderson.
Yeah. Wes Anderson, one of my favorite quotes from that movie is one of these pretentious things that Owen Wilson's character says. He's being interviewed because he's an author and they're asking him about his latest book. And he goes, okay, so we all know that Custer died at the Battle of Little Bighorn, right? What my book presupposes is maybe he didn't. And it's like that's this build to me is I'm like, you know, hey, we all know that Shin Matsunaga never piloted a Zagak, but what if he did?
Yeah. I mean, that's what's cool about doing stuff like this. And you've done it before too, where you have these custom builds that could be for, you know, an ace. And then there's like this cool story that you can have. I love that stuff.
I mean, if you think about it, like for instance, this could be one of those situations where like in 0080, the Alex was designed for Amuro. It just never made it to him. Right.
Yeah.
who's to say that they didn't have a Shin Matsunaga Zigok that was ready to go at Jabro, but he just didn't make it there in time for whatever reason. Like, he's in space, he's doing his Solomon thing, and then it's like, well, we have this Zigok.
Yeah, dude, I actually like that idea. That's a really cool idea, because then it could be where then it didn't see battle, so then it was like actually kept.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's neat. I like that. So, yeah, thanks again to Frosty, the, and if any of you are interested, yeah, if you go to the in the Discord, the Gumplin Collectibles, there's a pin tab for a form. Just fill that out. Pretty simple. So my plan is for each episode of the podcast, we'll cover one of these. So
that's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Great work, Frosty.
Yeah, I know. That is cool stuff. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to show, and it's funny because I literally pre-ordered this right before the show started. and hopefully it can show up on here just because the website I'm using. Okay. So it's a new catapult deck. We've seen it before.
Yes.
But they made a new one that, okay, Zoom's not working. So for those, if it's hard to see, if you search realistic model series, white base catapult deck, not for anime, but anime edition, because it's Mega House, not Bandai.
Yeah.
It is that high grade catapult deck that has existed before, but I think the colors on it are a little brighter, but
I think it's more anime accurate.
Yeah.
With like that slight green tinge to it.
Exactly. And it includes figures.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Bright Sayla, maybe Amuro with a helmet or any other guy. And then Amuro and then the other members of the crew.
That's awesome.
And not only that, but then little like pieces of functions, you know, to add for like when they're standing on the catapult deck or the arm crane. Because I have the Robot Spirits version of this. But this to me is awesome. Just like, cause it has those little figures. I think that's what won me over, but I didn't actually think about this, but I think I know the answer. The figures are probably already painted.
I hope.
Yeah. I'm just guessing because it's Mega House and it's not like,
yeah,
you know, a model kit release.
So, I mean, even just looking at the pictures, I am willing to bet that that it comes pre-painted. I mean, for instance, yeah, the Argama flight deck here didn't come with figures, but it did come like pre-shaded and everything. And it had water slides. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting because then I wonder if that means there's going to be a Zeta version or an Argama deck that is upgraded. And you know why I think that's going to be the case? Because I think we talked about this, didn't we? Where isn't the 40th for Zeta next year?
That's correct.
And we know there's a gap in the theaters of them playing Mobile Suit Gundam right now and then Char's Counterattack in March.
Yeah.
I think it's all coming together. The year's going to start with the Zeta 40th anniversary. We're going to get a translated English dub of New Translation.
That would be huge. Honestly, like the, oh man.
I know. But I wonder, like, do you think Bandai doesn't necessarily push Zeta stuff as much as it is popular?
Yeah, I don't think, I don't feel like they do. Yeah. And that's not just me being, you know, coming at it from my Zeta bias, but like 1 year war, it's like either 1 year war or something
unicorn around the unicorn era.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like UC goes, because
right. Yeah. And it's interesting because we're now getting those Robot Spirits ver anime Zeta stuff coming out. So it's coinciding. I mean, if they don't do this, that's a missed opportunity.
I would say so.
Because it seems like, yeah, they're going in that direction. And actually speaking of Zeta real quick, I can't wait to release the video review of this, but yeah, this is the Hijack, the Robot Spirits ver anime. And it is beautiful to have this mobile suit in such a accurate, so well proportioned and articulated thing. Like, this is so cool, you know. And
kit it out too, man. Look at all those accessories you got on there.
And even on the back, I have thrusters. I also have the heat hawk. Well, is that really a heat hawk on the
I think so.
Yeah, okay. But what's weird is it only came with the retracted version. And I don't know if maybe that's okay. So that's interesting. Did the Hi-Zac have the Heathawk with the long handle, or did they always just have short handled ones, or did we never see?
I honestly don't even remember seeing a Hi-Zac use a Heathawk in the show.
Right. That's what I'm wondering. Like, did they just add this on? Cause maybe that in universe, that would be technically correct. The other thing I like too is like the missiles on the side, that's removable too. So that's another like thing that I was able to add on. Yeah, again, to make this all kitted out.
Yeah,
it's the weapons. Even inside the shield, it opens and you could put more ammo. There's two of these ammo things in there. So
nice.
Yeah.
So and that's like part of the so part of like the Advance of Zeta line. They have like the two magazines, don't they? Like, I'm thinking of like the pre-production Hi-Zac that has like the two spare magazines that clip onto the top of the rifle.
Yeah, and I think that's just a common thing, because even on the skirts of most Advance of Zeta units, like they have those magazines or whatever.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I like that kind of stuff. It's like the gear porn, you know, that I talk about. Okay, real quick. There was something I was going to bring up. Okay, Full Metal Panic.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I think it's that because there's also Full Metal Alchemist, but I'm pretty sure they're different.
Yes. Okay. Now, I'm a huge fan of Full Metal Alchemist. I've never watched Full Metal Panic, but I'm familiar with it.
What is Full Metal Alchemist about?
Nothing to do with Gundam.
Right, but like, is it even mecha?
No. I would say the reason it's called that is because one of the main characters has his arm and leg removed, and he's got robotic prosthetics.
Okay, close enough.
Close enough. It's one of those, and I think you and I have talked about it before. It's one of those animes that I think you'd appreciate because the animation itself gears towards that younger audience. It's kind of kiddie, but the subject matter that's covered in the show is much more adult.
Oh, okay. One of those. Okay. Yeah. You have to check that out. Okay. So Full Metal Panic, the reason I'm bringing that up is because in the Gundam and Collectibles, someone had posted, and I think it's called like the Arbalest or something like that. And it looks so sick, and it was like a metal build. And so then I decided to, I haven't started it yet, but it's on Crunchyroll. Yeah. Zionic Shadow is saying Full Metal Panic is one of my favorites. 16X, Full Metal Panic is kind of silly, but kind of more realistic than Gundam. Oh, interesting. Maybe because of the size of the robots, you know, and the physics of being a giant robot. okay. Anyway, yeah, I think I'm going to start watching that in between my IBO. I think even Ian, Armad Ian, was even saying that he liked that too. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of positive endorsements. If you've got Zionic Shadow and Ian.
Yeah, no, really. I think so. Cause I want to start getting back to watching some more anime. Cause lately there's been like new things on TV to watch, like the Terminator anime, which is pretty good. If you guys haven't watched that, the Terminator anime is good. What was something else that I was watching? Oh, finally, and you would appreciate this, I'm going through the series of Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, excellent. Yes. So
what's interesting is I first watched the first two episodes of the live action back when it came out. And what is interesting watching the anime, it's very similar, even though a lot of people were disappointed.
Yeah. You know, I think that what they tried to do with the live action was they tried to recreate it like almost frame for frame in a lot of instances.
Yeah.
But I think that the characterization of the characters is just different. And that's what doesn't translate well.
Interesting. Okay. So I think first I'm going to finish the series before the live action. Series is fun. Like that's actually just a fun, chill watch anyway.
I mean, that's one of the few animes that that my wife watched with me, so that's
that says something. Mm-hmm. Let's see, so the next thing I wanted to share, and let me get to this is, I guess we'll start with this. This is going to be the easiest. So basically, if we're going to update the timeline, Requiem for Vengeance, okay. This is one of two October releases that we're going to add some cool events to the UC timeline. So again, October 17th. And if anyone knows, like, exactly the time it drops, even if it's 2 a.m., I'm curious because I would love to do like a first watch live stream reaction.
Yeah, because you mentioned, is it rolling out in time zones or is it just...
I don't know. See, that's the thing. I know, like, for like Star Wars Acolyte, when I was hate watching, no, I'm joking. it was dropping at the same time, like on a Wednesday at like 8 p.m. or something like that. I forget, like, my time.
Yeah.
So, but then also, I think this is dropping all the episodes at once. It's six episodes. I doubt they would do it weekly.
No, yeah, I doubt so, it. Not okay. for something like this. Although they should, you know.
Yeah. I that would be a fun event, like Witch for Mercury was, you know, the week to week, like, oh, what's, and then it's the conversation online or what's going to happen.
Have you ever seen when a show does like, and Netflix will do this from time to time, where they do like a mid-season break where they do half the season uploaded and then half the season afterwards?
No.
They do it for, what is that show? Love is Blind.
Oh, you know, okay.
Trashy reality shows. They'll do like the first six episodes go up and then it's like wait 3 weeks and then the next six will drop.
No, I know what you're talking about because I remember my wife would say, oh, there's new ones on, and I'm like, wait, I thought that just, and it's like, and she was like, well, no, they just have new ones. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that is,
I'm sure there's like a brilliant marketing strategy behind that, but like even something like that, it's like the best of both worlds, right?
Yeah, that is a really good point, especially because since these are reality people, they also have their social medias that I'm assuming people are jumping to, and they probably plan out what they can or can't discuss like on social media to kind of hype people.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good idea. Okay, so now I'm going to share something else here real quick. So this was something I made for a video a while back.
Yeah. Did Talos help you build this?
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we already have Requiem for Vengeance in here, so we don't have to worry about that. But what I'm curious about, do you think this show will take place just in 79? Or do you think there could be future UC like stuff near the end of the show? The only reason I say this is because from what they've shown us, I feel like it's not really been a lot.
No.
And it seems to be all contained within either going out to battle or confronting the Gundam EX.
And you just know? Based on the title and what we've gotten, like as far as trailers go, there does seem to be this implication that there is, you know, we establish the Red Wolves. We learn about the character Solari, the Zeon commander. They encounter the Gundam for the first time. And it sounds like her team gets wiped out. And then there's a second follow-up. Now, yeah. Whether that happens within 0079 or whether there's some bleed over, that part's not really clear. But
exactly.
Yeah.
Because of the Requiem for Vengeance, because there's those scenes of her holding that pocket watch, like that has to mean something. Time. There's references to time. It would be less of an impact if this revenge or this vengeance happens within just like a couple days of, you know, that time. You know what I mean? Where it's like, wiped us out. Revenge. It's like, well, it's war. I mean, you know, like, so I feel like there's got to be a little more to it. Like, I almost feel like almost Easter egg sort of like, what can we do for like those Gundam fans that have been following Universal Century for so long to maybe, you know, add some stuff, especially considering Unreal Engine 5. There's the Silver Phantom that takes place in 96. That I don't know if they're using Unreal Engine for that, but that's VR on MetaQuest. It makes me think they could be. So I think there's a lot of potential for assets and stuff to exist for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it would be pretty cool that man, do you remember playing the side stories game where you play as like the Marcosius and then there's the time gap that you play during the Neo Zeon War? That was awesome.
Yeah. And so was that separate from the Missing Link campaign? I think it was, because even the Missing Link campaign did that.
Mm-hmm.
So so there's precedent for these stories to then have like an end cap. That's like the future. Blue Destiny.
Yeah, Blue Destiny does it too.
Oh, okay, it does, because Yukijima is later on. So because it's those are video games, this is a CGI side, it makes me think that that is possible. Just like a Zeta 40th new translation dub.
If you just keep speaking it into existence. Yeah,
actually, I should make a news video where I'm saying like, hey, did you guys hear the news? And then I explain it all. And then like, and I was like, well, we got to do it now.
Has there ever been a successful campaign like that?
Snyder, Zack Snyder's.
Justice. Oh, there you go. Perfect example. Release the Tomino cut.
Yeah. So that would be cool. Ian's saying, I think a skit would be fun. Yeah, that's kind of a way to go about it, because the skit would be, it's like tongue in cheek, but as the humor is doing it, is I am really speaking on something.
I mean, let's make a hashtag campaign, make like a grassroots social media. It'll be hashtag translate new translation.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, but okay. So here's a good point. Nike, long time friend of the channel.
Yeah.
UC is overly complicated, which if I think it's one of those things where if UC wasn't your entry point into Gundam, especially, and then you're getting into UC, then I could, you know, that could be very overwhelming.
I think UC is only as complicated as you make it. And what I mean by that is that there's a lot of like, I love the arguments that people get into with Zionic scans about like what's canon and what's not.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know that whole thing, which I gotta, you know, give it to this franchise. It has taught me to not care. It really has. Like, I don't care. Like, oh, the antenna's on the left side. Oh, but like, I'm like, okay, you know what? I now like it because I think it allows more openness for more of artistic expression. You know?
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day,
I think so too. I see Ian in chat says 1 year war is pretty bloated at this point. And I agree. You and I have talked about in the past, like if you took every piece of Gundam media that takes place during the 1 year war versus everything that takes place over all of UC, it's so front loaded. Like everything happens in 0079. And then like,
yeah, in you know what's interesting? You bring up a good point, because it's like we love that stuff, but it should be more of, okay, here is a 1 year war game, but you know what the game is? It's actually just a retelling of the original Mobile Suit Gundam.
Yeah.
With modern graphics, modern gameplay sensibilities, or just remaster these older games. But yeah. In this part, I don't know, although I do have some contacts. So when Namco and Bandai merged, and I've talked about this before, the kind of the landscape of the gaming changed. And so I wonder if there is some sort of, you know, they remade the games for side stories.
Yeah.
Which I think was a good attempt at that. But how much was that maybe to placate versus, you know, because it's almost like the versus stuff, Dynasty Warriors, like, you know, that's not really Gundam, you know.
And they're not story driven. Like so few Gundam video games are story driven.
And we always forget, and I do this too, forget Noisy Fairy.
Yeah.
Because I think I like it, but I think they dropped the ball.
Yeah. I don't think that it, to your point, it's like the gameplay wasn't the problem. It was like all around the marketing.
Yeah. Because, you know, the game sold so bad that when they decided to port GBO2 to PC, they were like, well, we're not going to even bother porting Noisy Fairy. We're just going to make those suits available. Like, that's how bad the game did. And
that's terrible.
It is terrible because it was fun.
Yeah.
Fun, but the other part of it too is I think they didn't market it enough and it looked outdated, you know. But it had animation, it had an intro, it was like its own, you know, series.
And I mean, dude, I would love more like you know, if they're going to do video games and more like narrative side story, stuff like that, like set it in 0084, set it in 0088, something like that, you know, fill in those gaps, you know, because I feel like the mangas do a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to like filling in time between the mainline anime entries.
And the video games, again, we're doing a good job until the Bandai Namco merger. And then it seemed like they just scaled that back. It's just like what works. And, you know, I'm pretty sad about that just because, you know, I keep track of this stuff. And, you know, in the earnings report earlier this year, you know, Bandai said they had to cancel a bunch of games. Who knows if they were Gundam related?
Yeah.
You know, they were down 21%. And just Bandai Namco Entertainment, just the gaming part.
Right.
So, yeah, like, what do we got to do to revitalize Gundam gaming, you know? Not a hero shooter.
Definitely not that.
But, and I don't think this is going to do it, but I am excited about it, is the Silver Phantom VR. So, this is something else that's going to update the timeline. I would say it's interesting. I don't know what I'm more excited about lore-wise, Requiem for Vengeance or Silver Phantom. Even though I know more about Requiem for Vengeance, and I think it looks cooler, Silver Phantom has some pretty cool late UC stuff. Not late UC. Kind of late UC. I mean,
it's late UC as far as I'm concerned.
Really? So, for me, late UC now, I think it would be anything after Hathaway. That doesn't have to do with the legend.
You mean the fan fiction stuff?
Yeah, which, by the way, I think I learned from your stream yesterday about the F-80.
Yeah, F-80.
So they added, so, yeah.
There you go. And the manga is doing more work to...
Yeah. So, okay. So for Silver Phantom, this is UC0096. We have Argent Keel, an unofficial mercenary organization affiliated with neither the Federation nor Zeon, has been commissioned to assassinate Azami Magina, a high-ranking Federation official. The request comes from the Federation forces. So the request comes from the Federation forces. So I kind of like that sort of, is it corruption? You know, it's...
I love that political intrigue type storyline.
Yeah, it's like a state doesn't want to have their hands dirty. So they're kind of like asking...
Subcontracting.
Yeah. Okay, who cannot allow the reality of Azami's collusion with the Zeon to be made public. Yeah, there you go, collusion. Before they were to set out, their fleet was attacked by none other than the Federation Forces Jagan unit. Can't wait for that. In the midst of this extremely chaotic situation, Silver Gundam, secretly owned by Argent Keel, is launched into space. So I think Gundam Info announced that, I think it's on October 2nd or 3rd on their YouTube channel, they're going to do a live stream of the game. I have it pre-ordered. I am also going to live stream this game when it comes out.
Nice.
I got the Quest 3, so I'm going to do that whole thing. Okay, but let's go to the timeline. So it said 96, and that's at the same time as Unicorn. Interesting to think, like, so if this takes place at the same time as Unicorn, does that mean they're going to try to maybe shoehorn maybe some Unicorn stuff? Could this add implications to Unicorn? Because what's bigger than the Laplace incident? Or I guess not the incident, but Laplace's box during 96.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing going on, right? But I feel like that's almost a distraction for everything else that could be going on behind the scenes, right?
Right. And so, yeah, that's why I was wondering, like, how big of a deal is it to assassinate someone that could out some collusion when... You kind of already have that out on display during Unicorn. I mean, they're freaking blowing up trying to blow up a colony.
Well, you know what this is? You know what this actually kind of could tie into is Hathaway. Because if you think about it in terms of like, well, where is Hathaway during the events of Unicorn, during the Laplace incident, all that stuff? You know, obviously he's building up his terrorist faction, MAFTI. But like, why does he feel that the Federation government is corrupt if not for an incident like what is being described in Silver Phantom?
Yeah.
Because at some point we get those Manhunter Jagans and ECOWAS, you know, goes sour. So,
Okay. I like what you're saying here. And because I wonder then what that collusion. Okay. Interesting. So which could be cool because I think kind of like what you're saying, or I think kind of what we're already seeing. And we're seeing more of that corruption in general really lay the groundwork for why Hathaway would do what he's doing. So,
because if you were to just take the events of Unicorn and then skip straight to Hathaway, you're like,
oh yeah,
it's, it's such a crazy logical leap to say that, like, I understand that, yes, the Federation was complacent. I would say complacent, not corrupt. And this, I think, makes it sound more corrupt than.
Yeah. No, it does. Hey, in battle in the chat.
I see this. <There's>
No, but I love Victory. It was maybe the third series I watched, because I started with the first, then I saw Zeta, and then I watched Victory. Loved it, because what it did was, it's something you've talked about before, you know, how it's like the situation on Earth must be horrible for people, and they don't really focus on that. Yeah. When you get to Victory, it's like a post-apocalyptic. There's no Federation built. Like, they have to find places that are willing to build weapons and then escape. And then, like, there's certain areas on Earth where they're beheading people. Like, they execute people. Yeah, like, that's what I love about Victory. It kind of turns it on its head. I guess it more of doubles down on what... what Tomino's vision of future Earth would be based on the new type phenomenon, like how that would kind of transform.
And just as far as like the development timeline goes, you know, I think Tomino himself, and I might be wrong, I'm sure chat will correct me if so, but I'm pretty sure that he said that if he had known about the Sunrise acquisition by Bandai and what was going on at the time, that Victory would have been completely different. That, you know, there was something he was trying to do that was that he wasn't able to accomplish just because of like the time that it was being released. They were trying to appeal to a younger audience. And like, I don't know. I think that the story Tomino wanted to tell was not what we got from Victory. And you kind of get that sense when you watch it. It's like there's almost like a sense of longing going on in the
character. That is a really good way to put it. And it almost, I think it almost accidentally then, like for me, kind of further emphasizes the post-apocalyptic theme. Because at that point, the storytelling Tomino is doing is almost in itself post-apocalyptic, because he is at a point where he's doing storytelling where he can't do what he used to do.
Yeah. And I mean, that's probably like his scorched earth.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the other thing too, is I think it's one of the most underrated designs of a Gundam.
Yeah. I mean, as far as transformables go, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I love the design of it, though. It reminds me of like, it reminds me more of like Blue Angels F-18.
Yes,
that's kind of what, like, I really dig that. So
which, you know, kind of released around the same time as 0083, which had that Top Gun feel to it.
Yeah, so. That's right. Actually, was it the same time? Well, kind of.
They were like 2 years apart. I think it's like 93 and 90. I think it was 92, 93.
Let's look that up.
Yeah.
Not saying you're wrong.
No.
Okay. Release date of, what was it, Stardust Memory?
Yeah. Stardust Memory.
91. Okay. Date. Oh, I said of Victory Gundam.
So Victory was 93. Had to be.
Okay. So that is about 2-3 years. So, okay. Yeah. That is very close. Okay. All right. So yeah, then that makes me think how different, I guess one is a show and the other's just a few
OVA,
like the animation, like how much better the animation is in, Stardust Memory. And that's the other thing too, is, I guess that's why it confused me too. Yeah, because even in Victory, some of the animation, and I wonder if I can actually show it here. the do they have any cells like the shading?
It's very flat compared
So actually let me show this again. Like I think that looks sick. I have this and it's horrible. It's a Verka. It falls apart. Oh, I never saw this. This looks like what's his name?
Pretty sweet. That's an Okawara. No, that's a Kotoki design, isn't it?
The watercolor is throwing me off.
But it does look like that. Looks like the line art of the GPO1.
Yeah, that's a really interesting interpretation. Let's look at this real quick. So this is, it's just showing. So I wonder if maybe down here they have like,
and like the supplemental art.
Yeah. The artist of it. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So here we go.
There it is. That is the Okawara version.
Wow. Look at the proportion of the legs with the Kotoki.
Because you know how Kotoki does.
Yeah, that's.
But wow. You know what? See, and this is exactly what I can't stand about late UC. Look at what my man Okawara does.
Yeah.
It's big.
But to be honest, I think I almost like the Okawara version better.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all the little details, like the real type markings.
Oh, yeah. That goes a long way into selling it, right?
Yeah, that does. That's pretty cool. Okay, so anyway, back to this.
Tangent alert.
I know, right? I feel like Justice for Victory. I guess that's where I'm coming from.
Victory is not the worst UC entry by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay, what is?
Well,
you're on the spot. You're on the spot.
Well,
I'll go first.
Yeah. Okay. Give me yours.
Even though I like it, Double Zeta.
What would be your reasoning for it? Like, that's the.
It's almost because you can kind of tell they had to change things up. It's like you can kind of sense it just because there's a lot of that lingering humor at the beginning that didn't really need to be there. And then especially as a sequel to Zeta, where's Char?
Right.
Now I'm thinking of Char's Counterattack and how much that, check this out. What Ian just said. Double Zeta is the Batman and Robin of UC.
Ouch.
Okay. It's like, I can see that.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. And then, from no one, where Char was Amuro, why does Neo Zeon just kind of implode on its own? Yeah. I mean, that is the thing. It's like, there's so much bigger things that would be going on during that time that's why sometimes ZZ seems connected, but it's funny, then ZZ does the things that then make it unique, like having a team. And that's a fun aspect of it. And I think the mobile suits that come out of it are cool. The whole thing with the Q-Blade, the play, like the Puru clones or whatever. Yeah, all that stuff is cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I guess for me, the worst UC entry, at least animation-wise, I would say... Man, I gotta say it's a tie between 8th MS Team and Thunderbolt.
Wow. Okay.
And again, like you said, it hurts to say it because I like them both. But with Thunderbolt, as much as I like, you know, the character of Daryl and like the Living Dead division, like that's a cool group. It just doesn't it doesn't feel like it adds anything. Like it kind of feels pointless.
Yeah, you know what? It's very interesting because in general, I tend to forget about those. Even though there's nothing wrong with them, for some reason, it seems easy to forget about 8th MS Team until you need to remember it.
Right.
Hey, shout out to Classic Quarter Gameplays with a $15 super chat. Thank you. That is so nice. All right. Going shopping. Take care, both of you. Would you like to see a story on the Ifrit story be cool as well? Rock on. Okay, so a story about the Ifrit.
Yeah.
Well, so there's Doug Schneid, right?
Yes.
Is that the most popular of the Ifrit pilots?
I think people tend to like the, what's his name? The guy from Blue Destiny that pilots the Ifrit Custom. Is it Nimbus?
Nimbus.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
The Ifrit Custom tends to be more popular than the Schneid. But so that's a good question. One of the interesting things about the Ifrit is since there's only 8 of them in canon, that leaves, there's only 3 that I think that were unaccounted for.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. Because like we were talking about underrated suits or under discussed, I think that's a good example of one, because it seems like maybe it was made to be like a terrorizer.
Yeah.
You know, even that's the part I can't beat in.
Yeah. The Ifrit Noct.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Cause yeah, I was just looking at that Robot Spirits one I got from Blue Destiny. That's really cool. Yeah. Dual, heat swords. There's a lot of cool stuff that could be, here we go. So no one is saying the Ifrit was also absolutely insane on land. Yeah. It was just not cost efficient. So that could explain why there was then the only 8 of them.
So it's similar to because the Goof is the evolution of the Zionic design, right? It came from the Zaku. The Ifrit was actually a Zimad design. It's one of those. Oh, yeah, there you go. See,
Someone's saying, and Zimad developed the Dom at that point. So they were like, oh, this is more practical. Let's just mass produce this. Cool.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, yeah, thanks for that, because that makes sense. There's so many Dom variations too, like, and you see them a lot, and that's pretty interesting. Okay, cool. I guess really when I was talking about updating the UC timeline, there's really not much to say yet, I guess, other than like we know Requiem for Vengeance 79. I'm hoping for some late UC end thing to happen. And then it's interesting when Silver Phantom is taking place, because that's during the events of Unicorn. So there's a lot of Federation corruption going on. So this is more of a way to double down. So what's going to happen is, you know, Silver Phantom comes out next week. I am going to just play it until I'm done and probably get sick, because if I do VR for too long, I get sick. I'm going to play. So I'm going to break down the story. I want to do a story breakdown for the channel, but also just a breakdown of the game in general, how fun it is, because there's more than the story. There's some other little Gundam stuff you can do. So same thing with Requiem for Vengeance. When that drops, I'm hoping if we can find out what time exactly, if it's everywhere, I might try to do it a live reaction stream. But then, yeah, I want, and I might need your help. And, you know, even
let's do others, it, man.
let's break down the story. Like, what are some cool stuff they've added in? That's
gonna be fun. I think I said it last week. I don't think I've seen you as excited about a Gundam product as a Requiem for Vengeance. So
it's going to have a show, Fortnite skins, action figures. It's the quadrants that you need to get me excited about something.
I want to see like Adam's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where it's like, okay, there's got to be a show, there's got to be mech battles, there's got to be action figures, and there's
music too, which music. Luckily we have a pretty good composer for that, so I'm excited.
There you go.
I know, that's so cool. Check this out. Lucas Garrett celebrates 22 months of membership. That is just awesome.
2 years.
I know. So if Blue Destiny or Gaia Gear is ever made into OVAs, I will be very happy. 100%. So yeah. Blue Destiny for sure, because I'm so familiar with that, but Gaia Gear, because I love that idea of Gaia Gear, where it's like potentially future UC where there's this potential Char clone dude, you know? I love that stuff. That would be pretty cool. Yeah, shout out to Lucas Garrett. He's, you know, been a long time friend of the channel. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. I think that's it. But Steven, What do you have going on?
Well, I guess, you know, if all things go well, maybe either tonight or tomorrow, we should go ahead and continue, you know, tearing apart these Wing V8 and Mercurius. But we'll see. You know, I'll post about it over on Discord if that's the
cool.
If it happens.
Okay. Yeah. Keep an eye on that. And yeah, because the link to your channel is in the description, and then that also has
Cheers.
The link to your Discord. Yeah. Because there's a few of our Discords that, like when you meet us in the different Discords, you'll see that we're part of other Discords that are really cool. It's kind of a fun little hang.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that just about does it. Thanks a lot, Steven. I'm glad we got to talk about this, even though there wasn't too much to update as we dived in. We just got to wait for it to come out.
Maybe we should revise the timeline and do some more expanded entries. I'm going to get with you after the show. We'll talk about something.
I like the sound of this.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, all then, thanks for watching. And until next time, have a good one.